Blog Talk Radio. I am of God. I, your precious spirit. You've come to destroy oppression and depression. It comes against the mind of the believer. You've come to bring joy where there's been sorrow.
Tonight. We thank you, Father, for everything that you are doing. And Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we humble ourselves before your presence tonight. For truly there is no God that saves by the power that you so have demonstrated in sending your Son to this earth, God, to die for us and to be risen again for our sins, Lord, to redeem us back to you, Father. And therefore, we all come together as one right now, saying thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father in heaven. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the work that has been done. Thank you for redeeming us back unto yourself, O Holy One. And now, Jesus, we ask you now to forgive us of each and every sin of omission, everything that we have committed, everything that has been done that is not like you. God, we're asking you to wash us, cleanse us, purge us. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, and Lord, I'm asking you even now to move by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Touch the people tonight. Purge, heal, and deliver like no one can. Do it for your glory, God. Bind up every spirit of infirmity even now. in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I'm asking you to heal tonight by miraculous power. Deliver tonight, Messiah. Open the eyes of your people. Open the ear of your people that they may be able to see and hear and understand that which you are doing in this season. Satan, the Lord God, rebuke you. I rebuke you. I stand up in my apostle authority, my apostolic authority, and I take you under arrest. Every demonic spirit, I bind you now and forbid you to operate any further. I bind every principality, every power of darkness, every ruler in high place, every demon that's in the homes of the people that have antagonized, harassed, and that have discouraged, that have been bombarded by your forces. We cancel it out in the name of Jesus. We curse it. We break the power of it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for all power that you have shared with us. We thank you. Hey, we thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you have given us power over all the powers of the enemy to know that nothing by any means will hurt us. And God, in Jesus' name, we come to you tonight, looking for you to pour out your spirit, looking for you to honor your word, looking for you, Messiah, to heal, to hear, and to see what you see by the spirit of revelation in Jesus' name. I bind every deceptive demon. I bind witchcraft, warlocks that have even tuned in. I bind the spirit of the witch. I bind the spirit of the sorcery. I bind black magic. I bind every voodoo spirit, every enchantment of the enemy. I break the power of the spell in the name of Jesus, and I cancel this contract that the enemy has placed on the lives of God's people that are under the sound of my voice tonight. I break the curse in Jesus' name. Hey, I break it now in Jesus' mighty name. And God, I thank you. We thank you. We adore you in Jesus' mighty name. Now, Father, I'm asking you to speak to us tonight. Teach us by your spirit. Show us what you want us to know. Give us understanding. Enlighten us as no one else can. In Jesus' mighty name, and we thank you. Well, I want to welcome you again to Double Impact Ministries, where I am, and I have to say it now, I am under the auspices of apostle now, where God has given me the mandate to step up into the office of the apostle and no longer to just accept the office of the prophet, but now fivefold ministry is in full operation. As of actually last year, July the 7th at 10:48 a.m. in the morning, the Lord began to deal with me and told me to walk in that office. And like some, I try not to get caught up in titles, and for a while I shunned it. I didn't completely adorn the title, and I'm not into titles, but the calling is there. So, and I appreciate it. I was sharing with the people even on the other night how that even when God begins to deal with you about your assignment, about your post, if you deny him or the post or the calling, you're actually denying the Lord Jesus that summons you or assigns you to that specific task. And I had been unknowingly, fearfully shunning that place because of what was placed in my spirit over the years concerning just old doctrines of men. But the Lord began to even bring me into that place again, even on this week, and told me to step completely into the assignment that he has given me. And the scripture goes, make your calling an election sure. And I have made my calling and election sure, and I am sure of who I am. And I want you to know that you must know who you are in the kingdom. You must know who you are in the kingdom. God had no problem telling Moses when Moses was going in to deal with Pharaoh concerning the Egyptians that had surrounded his people and imprisoned them for many years. And before he went, he asked God a question. He said, God, who shall I tell them sent me? And God spoke from the cloud and told him, tell them I am sent you. And in that, God began to share with me. He said, everything that I have made you, my people, everything that I have made you, son, everything that I have called and summoned my people to, that is who I am to them. And he said to tell them that when they ask you, who sent you, tell them, I am that I am sent you. I want you to know when God gives you a word concerning your life, concerning the mandate, concerning the title, the assignment that's on your life, all that is in that call is who he is. Don't be afraid of it. Do not shun it. Do not shrink, shrivel, or bow down or back up from it. Not one iota of an inch. Because God told me, he said he takes no pleasure in those that of a drawback spirit. Amen, amen. Listen, I want to go into the word. And that was some word right there as well. But I want to go into the word of God tonight. And we're going to be dealing with some things that we're dealing with some foundational principles. And some things that God is saying we needed even on Friday night, but I'm going to bring it again tonight. And I'm just kind of revise it just a little bit based on what God gave me. But we're going to be reading from Hosea, the 10th chapter, starting there. But I want to tell you this. I want you to understand what season you're in. God wants you to know right now where you are. Yes, the new year has started. The new year has started, and man's calendar, I want you to know that God's calendar had already started somewhere back in September, the new year, but we won't go into that. That will take me a lot of explaining to do, but I want you to know God understands right where man is, so he deals with us at times according to knowledge. Amen? So he wants you to understand that we are in a season where God is saying, I am digging about. I am coming to you now to call you into a place of seeking my face. I am calling you into a place to seek me along through now with prayer, some with fasting, and with great repentance, simply because this is a time where even if you notice, the scripture says that under the sun there's a season or a time for everything. Under the sun there's a season and a time for it. And there's a time for building, and then there's a time for tearing down. There's a time for planting, and then there's a time for uprooting. There's a time to hate, and then there's a time for love. Well, right now we're in a season where God is rebuilding. He's actually wanting to refresh you. He's actually wanting to renew and to replenish and restore you. Right along through now, but there are some things that must be done first. We're going to Hosea 10 and 12, which says this: sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. I like that word, rain, and I love that word, righteousness. I'm going to read that again. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. One thing you need to understand about the fallow ground, when we hear that, it is making reference into your heart, the mindset of God's people. Anytime you hear the word heart in scriptures, most times it's speaking about your mindset, the mind, the brain, the center, the operation center, the brain of everything. So when you hear that, God is saying here, I want you to come before me and begin to rend your heart, but not your garment. I want you to come before me and begin to talk to me and tell me about the things that have been going on that offended you. I want you to share with me your innermost secrets. I want you to talk to me and share with me the things that have been hurting you and the grudges and the things that were even sometimes the enemy will begin to remind you of the past hurts and the failures that have been accrued over a period of time. And you think that you've gotten over that thing, but then here comes a win, a test, and then all of a sudden it throws you again. Well, that's because it's still down on the inside, and we haven't come to the master to begin to talk about that particular situation yet. Well, he wants us to come to him to rend our heart or to open up before him and confess our sins. The Bible says that if we confess our sins or open our heart to God and talk to him about it, then he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, then cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But there is a process. We have to do what Isaiah 1, and I believe it's 16, that says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as red as crimson, they shall be white as snow. He's saying, come to me, let's talk about it. Let's reason with one another. Come to me and open up. Let me give you an analogy of how God showed me the other night. Every car that has been put on the street has a maker. It has the designer. It has a manufacturer. The Ford, the Escort Ford, the Cadillac dealer, the Hyundai dealer, the Mercedes dealer, the Maybach, the BMW, all of those have have manufacturers that put their vehicles on the street, which have motors in them. But now when there's a problem that comes up, oftentimes when the money is not there, we like to take our car to the alley mechanic and try to cut corners with it, and then we end up losing out. We end up paying more money for the problem instead of taking it back to the dealer and paying the money that it takes to get that thing done right the first time, and that causes for us to have a little bit more longevity with our vehicles. Well, let's go spiritual about that. God says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and you're not your own. You have been bought for and paid for with a price. You don't even belong to you. He manufactured you. He made you. He created you in the likeness of himself. He knows you better than anybody else. So why take your body? Why take your temple to man? Why take your temple to an idol god? Why get on the phone and begin to call other individuals up and confess all of your problems to them, and they have no solution? Or they give you what you call an alley mechanic fix-up job. Then you go away from there, and about a week later, you still got the same problem, and you're going back to the person and rehearsing that problem over the phone again, and you still have the same problem. Why not get on your face and begin to go before God and tell him all about it? Because he knows your frame. He knows the number of the hairs that's on your head. My Bible told me that the Lord knoweth those that are his, and he said, let every man that nameth the name of the Lord flee from iniquity. Ah, glory to God. He's saying, don't you know that I know you better than any man, woman, boy, or girl? I created you. He said, but come to me. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, heavy burdened, overburdened. You wore out from promises and still haven't seen the fulfillment of some things to come to pass in your life. You wore out with the backbiting, the hatred, the strife, the confusion that's been going on. You're wore out with people lying on you and falling here and there. But God told me to tell you, if you just come, rend your heart, talk to me, tell me all about it. Share with me in secret. Talk to me. Come into your closet with me for a little while. Let me begin to hear your requests. Open up to me. Another analogy I will give to you is you go to the doctor. You tell the doctor you've got a pain here or there. If you don't tell them, when you go in there and you just, if you're hurting all in your body, you're spitting up blood, and the pain is all in your chest, all in your back, but you go to the doctor and you never tell him what's wrong, and you just sit there looking miserable, but you don't open your mouth. That doctor can't discern, or he cannot diagnose your problem. He can't give you the antidote. He can't give you the cure for this world's ills. He can't do it because he has to go by what you tell him. And then he has to diagnose based on his training what the solution should be. But I'm here to tell you, you've got a God that you can go to and confess to him everything that's bothering you. You can tell him about all your problems, and you can go in and tell him and be straight honest with God. I'll never forget the time that I was going through something in my life. And when I was going through, it was a hard test, a hard trial, and I was by myself, and I was walking through the apartment, and I was talking to God, just telling him all about it, and I was murmuring and complaining. I was just talking to him, and you this, and this, and that, and the other, and you told me so-and-so, so-and-so, God. Now, look, now, so-and-so, this, and that, and the other. And I stopped, and I said, ooh, let me shut my mouth before you slap me. And when I said that, God spoke to me in an ultimate voice, not the Holy Spirit, not the Lord Jesus. I heard God's voice ultimately say, but I understand you. And when he spoke that to me, everything that I understood about other people's situations, in other words, whatever he had already poured into my spirit as a leader or as his child to understand when people would do me wrong, he would give me to understand why they were acting that way. Well, all that he had ever poured into me began to show me how he felt about me. He said, but I understand you. And from that, I began to understand that God loves me because he understood me. Don't you know that when you can understand a situation or why people are behaving the way that they are, it's simply because the understanding, you can put up with them just a little bit longer. You can tolerate them because you can understand that's just the enemy in them. They have acted the way they're acting because they've been hurt years ago. Somebody raped them, or somebody molested them, or somebody cussed them out about a few hours ago, and you can understand that that's just the enemy. That's not about you. They're not really responding to something that you did. They're acting because of what they've experienced, and now you can pardon them because you understand it. Well, it's the best way I can describe how God feels about you or I. He knows what ails you. He knows what the enemy has done to you. He knows what the enemy have used people to fight and to bind you with, to attack you with, the job situations, the bills, everything that's coming up against your natural as well as your spiritual house. Your Father knows your frame, and I'm here to tell you there's nothing too hard for God. He can fix it. Hallelujah. Right there, you need to be praising God and telling him, thank you for fixing it, or being able to fix it, Lord. Thank you right there. Well, listen, let me tell you. The scripture says that if you go and confess it to him, then he is faithful and just to forgive you of that thing and then cleanse. Right there is where God is telling me to tell you as his people, I want you to come to me and be just real with me. Don't hold back anything. There's some things that's hidden down on the inside of you that you still haven't let go. You may even be a leader on the phone right now. You may be the apostle of a great church on the phone right now. But there's still a residue. There's still something there that God is saying, in this season, I want you to come forth now because I want to deal with the hidden matters, the hidden agenda of the heart. I want to give you a heart transplant. I see that there's some things that have gotten inside that have turned you, caused you to come out of the spirit and get in the flesh and hurt individuals. You said some things you had no business saying. He said, I understand why. He said, I just want you to come tell me about it. I've seen how they mistreated you over the years. He said, just come talk to me about it. He said, because if you don't tell me, it's harboring. It's, you're covering it up. You're regarding the iniquity in your heart, and as the doctor that can't prescribe to you the medicine, he can't put in you the antidote to give you the cure, he said, I can't touch you because I'm a God that has given you a free choice. You have a free will, and I won't go past it if you don't grant me permission. Give God permission to touch you. Give God permission to have access to your heart. Don't give it to man. Don't give it to woman. Don't even give it to your children. When you're going through your worst and your most problem, get on your face and just start confessing that thing to the Lord. I promise you, he'll hear your cry. He'll interpret your groans. He'll interpret that situation that's going on down on the inside. And when you really want God to fix that thing and you cry out unto him, the Bible says, this poor man cried and the Lord delivered him out of his transgressions. Listen, God is concerned about Shioria Baka. See, he is concerned about you. You are his people. You are the apple of God's eye, and he is most concerned about what ails you, what has stopped you. Now, let me share this with you. God gave me this. He said, one of the reasons why my people are continuing to fall away and having to go through seasons of restoration over and over again is simply because the word has no root in them. Now, the reason for him saying, I want you to come aside for a while and allow me over the next 6 to 7 days, let's call it 8 days, God wants you to come away right now in this season. Don't miss it. The reason he wants you to do it now is because he desires to pour into you a fresh new download. You've got to refresh your system, even on the computer system that you may have. There is what you call a refresh button, which means it will even refresh the screen and bring back up to focus or bring into view that cloudy, or the picture, or the lettering, or it may have gotten stuck on pause, or it froze up. But if you hit the refresh button, it'll free it up and it'll keep right on rolling. What God says, I want to give you a refreshing. I want to restart you. I want to replenish you. I want to even refill you. He said, but come aside for a little while, because I want to give you a fresh new download. I want to bring into remembrance some things that you have lost, which means I've got to restore you. I've got to restore covenant. Hey, Shabbat. Hallelujah. I hear somebody in the spirit right there as a confirmation, and a refreshing is already taking place in your spirit. I heard you in the spirit quicken, and all the lines are muted. But nonetheless, he says, I want to give you that fresh new download where the restoration is going to take place in some areas that the enemy has lost. And the other thing is, I want you to break up your fallow ground. Don't go to man, because the thing that's causing you to trip up and to lose these grounds is because you're sowing your seed, or you're planting, or allowing me to impart into you with mixed grounds. Your grounds are stony. They are hard grounds. In fact, let's go to the scripture about that real quick. I believe we have a little bit more time here. We can work with this somewhat here. Let's go over to, what am I looking for here? Let's go over to Mark. I believe we want to go over to Mark, the fourth chapter. Let's go over to Mark, the fourth chapter. Now, again, I want to tell you why God is saying many of the people are falling away or having to be restored ever so often. In other words, he has to continue to refresh and replenish or give back to you some spiritual grounds that the enemy has taken. It's because you sowed that seed on bad ground. You did not put it or come before him in the proper way. Even on Friday night, he gave me to tell the congregation, he said, tell the people that when the season of seeking me comes, you have to understand that you must remove all distractions. Yeah, when you come in to seek the Lord, you ain't got no Bible in your hand, telephone on the table right next to you, the TV on, the children running through the house crazy. I promise you, you will not get the full effect and the full download that God wants you to have. You got to make sure all of them rascals are put in the bed. You've got to make sure the TV is turned off. You've got to shut the phone completely down, power it down, and make sure you're in a place where God can minister to you and you talk to him and no distractions are there. Make sure the food on the stove has been put away, all of the pilot lights. You have to make sure that all of the pilot lights are also put down, simply because the enemy will bring the spirit of distraction right when you get ready to pray, right when you're getting ready to get that breakthrough, or you're getting ready to get in your word. He'll start bringing to your mind, look, you remember that stove, the stove may still be on. And all of a sudden, you break up from prayer, and then that's over with. He just stole that moment between you and God. Even you that are married, you don't want nobody stealing your moment between you and your husband or you and your wife. I know you understand what I'm talking about right there. So it's the same way in the spirit. When intimacy comes with the Father and the Holy Spirit, you want to make sure it's just you and your lover, and where you all can talk to each other and can communicate and allow him to impart into you a spiritual gift that will bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Now, Mark 4 says this, and the second verse says, well, let's go to the first verse. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude. Mark 4 and 1 is where we are. Here's somebody asking where. So that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, which means to listen, behold, which also means to look. Now he's telling the people or his disciples, hearken, which means to listen, and look, which means to behold. Behold means to look. There went out a sower, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. I'm here to tell you, if you got distractions on the inside all around you, when God begins to give you that word, that download, that revelation, you looking for God to speak to you himself. You ain't looking for nobody else to give you no prophecy along through. Now you should have been farther up the road by now, to where you've developed a relationship with God, to where you don't have to have somebody prophesying in your ear every 5 days. going to seek in prophecies because you need to hear a rhema word. No, I'm sorry, a microwave word from a prophet. No, you need to hear something that's right hot off the press, straight from God himself. Remember, he knows your frame. He knows who you are. He created that temple. He knows how to make you, shape you, and mold you, and make you in his own image. He comes after the old man to kill him, but to renew you in the newness of his spirit. Amen. And he said, the reason why this happens is because you got too many distractions. I'm going to read that next verse. And he said, and it came to pass, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came to devour it up. Fifth verse says, and some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth. It had no depth of earth. In other words, the seed was sown right on the top of the earth. It didn't go down deep. So as soon as the wind, or as soon as something came up, it began to wash away. It began to blow away. It didn't have enough depth. The root wasn't down in the ground long enough. So it died. I would imagine it died because of too much sun, too much exposure. Maybe even the fowls began to trample it underfoot. Nonetheless, what he's saying is the purpose for you rending your heart in this season is that you would open up your grounds, which is your spiritual heart, your mindset. Get the mess out the way. Get the weeds out of the way. Plow the grounds of your heart. That farmer, when he has a field, he knows that when it is time to plant the seed for the next season that comes along to produce a harvest, or to produce crop, he has to go through that soil and remove everything that will come up that will kill that seed or that plant. Dandelions have been known to destroy grass and anything that's live because it sucks the life right out of them. Well, in the word, it talks about the wheat and the tare. Well, if you allow tares to be in the way, if you allow gossip, if you allow hatred, an unrepented heart to be in the season that you're in right now, where it's a season where God wants to come and rain righteousness, which is his word, which is revelation knowledge, which is the kingdom principles that you are to live by, which governs your life. You have to have a governor over your life, and the Holy Ghost wants to teach you. The Bible says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, no, let me back up. It says, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all things and then bring all things back to your remembrance. But watch this. If you don't have good seed down into good soil, when persecution comes, when the storms come, you will not remember what God said, and you'll begin to operate in your flesh. You'll begin to become carnal all over again. This is one of the reasons why people are falling away, because they don't take the time to get before God, rend your heart, open up, tell him about everything, and let him give you a fresh new download, and then put a rhema word in you. Now watch this. This is the catch, though. I'm going to break away from that scripture. You can read the rest of that fourth chapter for yourself. But this is what you have to do once God gives you that download, once he gives you the revelation for you and you're in quiet time with him, write it down. I see people, and I've counseled many people, that tell me, I really don't have to write it down because it gets in me and I just remember it. But them the same ones that have to come back to me every 2-3 months to get that same word again to remind them of what God have already spoken. But I wouldn't have had to do that had they followed instructions. The same thing that I give you, I have to live by. I have to be a witness of the very thing that God has given me to live by, and that's this. Write that thing down. Write that instruction down. Write the grace down. Write the principle down. The reason for your writing that down is so that when God begins to deal with you in season or about a thing, you can always go back to your principles or the instructions and refresh yourself. You don't have to have him to do it. You can go and refresh yourself and lay out and meditate. One of the reasons he said people are falling away is because the word, one, does not have any depth in their heart. Number two, they're not meditating on the word once I give it to them. You must chew that word. The Bible says earnestly desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Many don't want to take time to grow. Many don't want to take time to grow or to develop themselves. Many don't want to take time to go into meditation. Now, once God gives you that word and you begin to chew it up, you've taken the time to go through the first step, which is to rend your heart. You open up to God. You're confessing it daily. God, take this out. Now he begins to deal with you, and he pours into you righteousness. He rains his spirit in you and begins to show you revelation, and now the seeds are planted in your spiritual ground, your mind. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. The enemy does not want you to have a mind change. He knows that if your mind doesn't change, you'll continue to respond or to act the same way you used to before you got saved. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject or obedient to God, and neither indeed can it be. This is the word of God. It tells you that that carnal mind is not going to obey, so you've got to kill it. You've got to put it to rest. You've got to get in the word and begin to cut that carnal man by the word and meditation. Now, the word meditation means to give thought to consider or to give consideration, to deliberate, contemplation, reflection, meaning to reflect on that word. Once you begin to reflect on that word, it becomes a mirrored image within you. And the thing that's inside of you begins to get cut, that carnal thing. It begins to lose its potency. And now the strength of the word that God puts in you begins to grow. Your new man, your inner man, the Christ in you begins to grow up. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. I've got some good stuff here. We're going to talk a little bit further down the word. That word meditate means cogitation. It means ponderings. You have to ponder it. You got to give some attention to the revelation. You can't just get a revelation and say, oh, that's it, I got that revelation and gone. No, you got to come back. And you've got to continue to ponder it. You got to get that thing down inside of you. I heard someone teach this not too long ago. They said that it takes at least 6 minutes for the word of God to get in you, for it to really take root or to stick to you once it has been downloaded. You have to give thought to it for at least 6 minutes or you're going to lose it. And then it takes you at least 13 times to meditate on it in order for it to have an effect on you to where it begins to take root and then you can grow it. The Bible says that except a grain of a seed fall in the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it will bring forth some 100, some 60, I'm sorry, some 30, some 60, 100-fold. It's going to bring forth fruit, in other words. The problem is we keep letting the carnal man live. We're not killing him. We're not meditating. We're not pondering the revelation that God gave to us long enough. We're not giving thought to. We're not musing over. We're not allowing the mirrored image to get down on the inside of our mindset so that it will bring forth the likeness of who Jesus is supposed to be through us. Then we have to take time to do this. Develop. Once you got the revelation, you have to learn to develop the seed, develop that image, develop that vision, develop that revelation. You have to know that the word develop means to expand. It means to build up. It means to enlarge. Once you got the word, the revelation of God on the inside of you, you have to take time to develop. You can't. Let me talk to the mothers here and the real dads. Listen, when that baby comes out of the womb, if you leave that baby alone, mother and dad, and don't put a bottle in his mouth or give him no food, I promise you he's going to starve to death. But if you understand the cycle of life and that we as human beings, we have to eat. That's just the natural. God made us that way. Well, it's the same way in the spirit. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation or creature. He is a new creation or creature. The born-again experience has to be nurtured, or else the child Jesus inside of you will die. Stop starving the Christ in you, the hope of glory, and allow him to become developed. Bring him to a place to where he can extend himself in you. Nurture that baby. Increase him. The word develop means to widen. It means to cultivate. It means to ripen. Mm-hmm. If you eat some fruit before it becomes ripe, it's going to be sour, especially a banana. The banana is hard. It don't taste good. It's not good to the taste. God says, I want you to become seasoned children of God. I want my spirit to become a full stature in you. But in order to do that, you've got to take time to develop me. You've got to bring progress to your seed, and you've got to grow it. Mm-hmm. Now, as a scripture, Jude 1:20 says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most, most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, you know what? I'm going to even do better. Let's go to 2 Peter 1. It says this, Simon Peter, the first verse, 2 Peter 1, starting at the first verse, there's 10 verses that I'll read. I'm going to try to do this as quick as possible. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge. See, he gives you knowledge, and remember, knowledge is power. I could go somewhere with that, too. We're going to try to pull that in there a little bit later. And it says, knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. God wants you to take time to develop him inside of you. He wants you to have his DNA. But what we are doing, we are getting the download, the impartation, the revelation, and we think it's for somebody else, and we go to prophesying to other folks and forget God that he had put that thing down on the inside of us, and we're not developing it. We're not taking heed to walk in that revelation and to nurture it, to develop it inside of us, to obey it. He wants us to have the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 5th verse says, watch this. This is key. This is how you're going to grow your child, the spirit of Christ on the inside of you. 5th verse says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Once you have gotten the download, which is faith that God deposited in you. Remember what faith is? Faith is the substance, the download. Faith is the download, the substance, the ingredients. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So he's saying add to the download. Put some word with it. Get into study and add scriptures to your revelation, and then learn how to protect it in your mind so that when the enemy starts to come in like a flood, you'll know how to adorn the helmet of salvation and begin to block it. You have to learn how to use the shield of faith. Anything that is contrary to the word of God, you've got to cast down that imagination and don't let it come in and steal your new heart and take you back to the old way of thinking. That is the problem with the church now. We keep allowing the enemy to cause us to resort back to the old way of thinking and then say, God knows my heart. He said, yeah, I know it. He said, but I want you to change it. That's why I called you unto myself. This is why I said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. God called those things that be not as though they were. He said, I want you to become new. I don't want that old you. That old you was a raggedy mess. That old you was a cussing sailor. That old you knew how to go out and get the sugar daddy when your bills got low. That old you knew how to go out and pimp, do whatever it was you knew how to do. He said, I don't want him. I want this new man in you, because that's the one that's going to give you power. That's the one that's going to be used by me to raise the dead. That's the one that's going to be anointed beyond measure to break yokes in other individuals' lives. I've called you for a purpose. I've given you an assignment so that you can bear the anointed one on the inside of you. Learn how to walk with him, protect him, keep him, guard him, protect him, and make sure that he is used, or that he uses you properly to bring other people into the kingdom. We're not understanding this thing, folks. People are not understanding that Jesus wants to live on the inside. Somebody said, well, wait a minute. You trying to tell us we Jesus? I'm here to tell you. I could go somewhere in the scripture with that one and tell you this. Jesus died for you, but he also said this. He came to baptize you into this same death and the same baptism that he was baptized with. And I'm here to tell you this. He desires to live on the inside. The Bible says greater is he that is within you. That is, if you have not killed him and crucified him again. That is, if you have learned how to develop the Christ in you and put that old man down. You got to put that old way of doing things away. You can't slap folks upside their head no more. You can't cuss folks out no more. You got to put that cigarette down too, woman of God. Oh, glory to God. Hey, hallelujah. That's just the prophet part of me. But to God be the glory. You got to put those things down that don't pertain unto life, and you've got to pick up the spiritual thing, the kingdom things. God is looking for people that will develop him. The rest of that scripture says this: you have to add unto your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge. Sometimes you've got to go somewhere and get your books on love. Get your books on the vision that God has given to you. But make sure it's in line with the scripture. The best way I can say to do it is get in that word. Find every scripture that has to do with love, and then ask God to give you revelation, and then build that thing up, build that love revelation up, and then begin to operate it. If you got a business, you've got to get around individuals that are going in the same direction or that have mastered the same type business that you have. Don't think that you have something that nobody else has, because the Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun. You think because you've seen somebody else with the vision and the idea that it ain't for you no more. Somebody else doing it. No, 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 no. That thing is for you too. If God showed it to you, you got to, hey, you got to do it too. That means he put it down on the inside of you. It's the download. Now, don't kill it. Nurture it. Get around people that are going in the same direction as you, because if I promise you, if you hang around those that ain't going nowhere, they're going to pull you right back into the same boat that you used to be in and that you are still dwelling in, some of you that desire to dwell in that. If you want to go where God is taking you, get on the internet, get in a book, get into school, go to seminars, go somewhere to build yourself up on the word of God or the vision. The scripture says, now add to your knowledge temperance. You got to be patient. You got to learn how to be patient. And it says, and to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Now, remember I told you how God gave me to tell you that the reason why many people are falling away is because they're not taking time to develop themselves, and to meditate is so key. Meditate on the things of God, what he didn't put in you, what he said to you, not just prophecy. Prophecies don't pass off the earth. The only thing that lasts forever is the rhema word from God himself. Get that exact authoritative word from him. But remember I told you the reason that people keep falling away is because they're not taking time to meditate and to break up their fallow ground and to build themselves up. This next scripture tells you this. It says in the 8th verse, if you do these things, or if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Watch this. If you don't do these things that God has given me to tell you, you're not going to be able to see afar off. In other words, you're only going to go so far, and your spiritual sight will only carry you as far as you can see. And if you have not developed the Christ in you and brought him to a great matured place in you, you won't have hindsight. You won't have foresight. You'll become blind, and the Bible says you'll become a leader to other people, which is both blind, and y'all both gonna fall into a ditch. So you keep trying to pull somebody else out that can't see no more than you see. Get somewhere with somebody successful that got the testimony and not the test. If they still crying over the test, they ain't got the testimony. They have not become matrimonized or matrimonious with God. You've got to get somebody that's married to the Lord, and victory is in their life. Watch them. The Bible says, study the perfect man, which is the matured man, for the end of that man is faith. Study him, discern him, watch him. If that man is going in the direction, holiness now, in the same direction that you're going, they have the same giftings, they have the same vision, study those people. Become an understudy. You don't have to tell them that you're watching them. Watch them. Read their books. And the thing that God put in you, he'll begin to grow. The revelation, the Christ in you will begin to grow, and you will no longer have that problem. Let me finish these verses. 8th verse again. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful. God wants you to be fruitful. In the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged of his old sins. He doesn't want those things back. He don't want you to go back to your old sins and keep making excuses. Well, God, no, I'm having a problem with this. The reason you keep having that problem is because you're not breaking up your fallow ground, repenting, confessing your sins to him, and then letting him make the download into good soil, deep soil, and then meditating every day. Psalms 1:1, you all read that for yourself, but I'll quote it out for you. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, his pleasure is in the laws of the Lord. And in his law doeth he meditate day and night. You need to do this thing day and night. You go to sleep with God on your mind. You lay out in the floor and start thinking on the revelation he just taught you for hours on end sometime. And get up, and I promise you, it's going to be strengthening you. It's going to build you up on your most holy faith. That thing will cause you to become like Superman. Let me put it this way. When you meditate, it gives your inner man, the spirit man, strength. Best way I can describe it, the scripture says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit as well. You want to build yourself up in the word and then meditate, and your inner man will start to get strong in the things of God. And that carnal man, he'll start sounding like a little old Bo Peep. I want to go sin. I want to cuss. No, you're not. You're not going to do nothing. Why? Because the greater one is stronger now. I can overpower you. But I remember cursing. And then eventually, it's gone. Why? Because you have been meditating on it. Anything you think on long enough begins to get in your mind so strong to where it builds up your spiritual man. And your spiritual man begins to superimpose that old man. And you begin to starve him out. The Bible says, but I beat my body into subjection, lest after I have preached unto others, I myself would be a castaway. I believe that's in Corinthians either 4:9 or 2:9, somewhere in that area. But you want to make sure you bring your own body subject, make your mind think differently. The transformation has to take place through meditation. One more scripture, I believe, and that is this here. It says this. Excuse me. If you take the time and just build up and stay before God and meditate, praying in the Spirit, there's going to come a point to where you be so supernatural, your carnal man will not be able to overtake your new man. That new heart that God gives to you, you've got to gird it. You've got to protect it. You can't think the way you used to once the download has been made, people of God. You have to change your thinking through meditation. Now, the Bible says over in Romans, the 12th chapter, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Second verse, and be not conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed, which means changed, by the renewing. You have to renew that new mind. You have to keep renewing it in order for your old man to be put to death. You got to keep renewing your new man, because I promise you, Satan's on the outside putting around you people that will help you keep your old man renewed. He gonna send around you the gossipers. He gonna send and place around you the backbiters. He's gonna place around you the haters and the naysayers. He's going to position around you those that will keep your carnal man alive. But you definitely have to make sure that you put those things to rest. Sometime you got to come out from amongst them. I got a few more minutes. We under an hour still. Sometimes you have to come out from amongst them and be separate from those who are talking these ways. Because if you keep hanging around people that's talking, that talk against what God then put in you, I promise you it's going to affect you. The Bible says that some zealously affect you, but not unto good. So you have to get away from those that can corrupt you, because Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners. Change your friends, change your associations, and change the way you're thinking, and you shall have good success. Read Psalms 1 for yourselves. It tells you about that tree. I didn't get the chance to give you some scriptures on the trees because we're pressed for time, but I want you to look at, I'm just going to quote the scriptures off to you. I'm not going to read them. I'm going to tell you where to go to, and you can look at Matthew 12 and 33. Luke 6 and 44. I can quote these two scriptures to you because they're short. I just won't have to elaborate that much on them. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For a tree is known by his fruit. Now, either you got some bad fruit on your tree or you got some good fruit. The purpose of God bringing you to himself in this season is so he can get rid of the weeds, get rid of the gossip, go to him and tell him, Lord, I've been lying. Lord, I've been cussing. Lord, I've been doing. Tell on yourself before God. You ain't got to go to man. Tell him everything. Say, God, you got my permission to get this mess out of me. I confess it before you, because your Bible said if I confess my sin, you are faithful and just to forgive me and then cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And once you do that, he has permission to do surgery on you. When he does the surgery and give you the revelation, make sure you guard it and protect it and do it. Meditate on it day and night. I promise you then you will have good success. This is the season for God pouring out his spirit. Now, I was told I had an hour and a half. I'm going to take two more minutes and give you this, if I may. And that's, remember this, your children. Now, this is aside from what I just said to you there, and then I'm going to have you praise God, because God told me he's going to loosen anointing to break yokes in your life. That's going to be a refreshing as well, as you will begin to praise him. But I want to share this with you. Our children are under siege, but yet some of it is because of disobedience, because of the things we've shared with them. But remember this, we have to line ourselves up with the word as well, so that they can also see obedience in our lifestyle through us. What we do before them will also be a seed sowed into their lives. So we have to be careful what we do before other people as well as our children. But God said this, there are some children that are being attacked by familiar spirits. The thing God delivered you from, the things that God brought you out of, now those demons are attacking your children. And some are familiar spirits, and they're even trying to take them into things that you were delivered out of. But you now have to go into the spirit and begin to bind the familiar spirit. Well, they don't come on, the things we did don't come on our children one way, not necessarily so. My children are not under a curse, so God, let me know. You can break that. You have power to stop that familiar spirit. Intercede for your children. Fight for them. Pray for them, but yet live it before them in Jesus' name. Now, back to this. He's coming to rain righteousness in your hearts. Don't miss the season. Don't miss this season of righteousness where God is reigning. He's pouring out his spirit over the next 7-8 days. This season is a season of repentance and a renewal and a refreshing. And some people are getting refillings, but there is definitely a restoration in this season, a renewing of things, a starting over. He's starting you over. Don't miss the season by not getting before him. Hosea 10 and 12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, and break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. It's your season to be blessed in the Spirit. It's your season also to receive some natural blessings, but he wants your spirit man. Hold with him, and if you do these things, you will be faithful for the rest of this year, and you're going to see good success both spiritually and naturally. Now, those of you that are under the sound of my voice, I want you to begin to just praise God, because he's going to begin to break yokes. If you obey the man of God, the prophet, the apostle that God has given to you to listen to tonight, God says, I'm going to destroy yokes if you just turn it on. Turn the praise on right now. Hallelujah. He said, just turn the praise on. That's it. Praise him. Praise him from your belly. I don't care who's in the room with you. I don't care who's seeing you or hearing you. God says, I'm destroying the yoke even now. Your praises is getting you delivered, and it's opening up the heaven to pour out righteousness on you. It is the sacrifice of praise that's bringing you this deliverance and this yoke-breaking anointing now. Praise him now. Praise him. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy to be praised. Nobody like you. Nobody like you, Noah Messiah. You truly are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Nobody like you in all the earth. Heaven and earth adore you. God, my heart loves you. My spirit truly trusts you and depend completely upon you, because you are my way maker. Oh, God, nobody like you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name. Thank you. Hey, glory. My God. Oh, yes, God. My Lord, my God. Thank you, Jesus. My Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and open the lines, woman of God. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, my Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy to be praised. Oh, bless your name, God. Hallelujah. Thank you. You're wonderful, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Nobody like you. Hey, oh, bless your name. Bless your name, sweet Jesus. Bless your name. Oh, nobody like you. Nobody like you. I'll just put this song on until, hallelujah, she opens the lines up. 2 minutes for this song. Listen to this song as you continue to praise God. Amen.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Now I take it. Amen. I want to begin to pray for those or those that are on the line right now. The line, the altar call is most important. Even though I know God has done a work in destroying the yokes, I know that his anointing is in your presence and has done a work, and that he has opened up the heavens for you to be able to hear or have an outpouring of his spirit in this season. Because of the prophetic utterance and the apostolic outpour and the decree that he has placed in my mouth to say it so, it is so. It's happening now. I decree it. I want you, people of God, to don't take this light, this word lightly. Please don't. He wants us to remain. He wants us to have fruit, and he wants us alive in him. He loves you so much, and I know he does not want that any man should perish, but that all would come to repentance and be saved completely, inside and out. Don't miss this move. Those of you who have not given your life to the Lord, use that want to give your life to the Lord. If you're on the line, and I know the lines are open now, I just want you to say, yes, Lord. And we'll pray for you right now. Anyone on the line now that desires to give their life to the Lord or to rededicate their life to him, I want you to come forth now. And you don't have to fear. Is there anybody? The hand and the invitation is out there. Man, I'll give you another 5 seconds or more to make up your mind. Yes, God. Amen. Did anybody come forth? Amen. Now, I want to do this as well. I want to just acknowledge, I'm going to ask for some requests, or I just want you to give some comments, but I want to acknowledge the Kingdom Builders Ministry. If it were not for them, this door would not be possible for me to be able to minister to God's people. I thank you, Kingdom Builders, also known as Kingdom Daughters, amen. But I applaud you for your work and your willingness to bring this door for God's people to hear this word. Those of you who are on the line and that desire to have a Bible as well, there'll be someone to make that announcement as soon as we get through taking just a few calls here. We've got a few minutes, not calls, I'm sorry, a few requests or someone that wants to say something. Anybody on this line, I need you to come forth now to share with us this message, or if you were blessed, or if you have anything to say briefly, come forth now. The floor is open to you. Hello, anybody there?
The lines are open, and I just thank God for the word that you brought forth today. It just bear witness to what the Holy Spirit had been speaking in my spirit concerning spending time with God, meditating on the word. You just touched so many areas that I'm walking in, because God truly wants me to walk in the supernatural. So I just thank God for using you and you being obedient to what God placed in your spirit to bring forth tonight.
Amen. Thank God. We give him all honor and glory. Is there anybody else that has? Go ahead. Go ahead, callers. If you have something to say, go right ahead.
God bless you, Apostle.
Amen. God bless you.
I just want to give a testimony. That God just moved Friday in the service. And
hallelujah.
I've been overshadowed ever since. I've been geeked and anxious to get in the Word so I can hear what he has to say. I mean, I have so much joy and peace. I feel restoration. Glory be to God. I tell you, God is a good God. Glory be to God.
Yes,
and
he
I'm
is.
Putting everything that he gets for me in this season. Glory be to God. It's like the song, Lord, whatever you're doing, with the season, don't do it without me, Lord. Glory
yes.
be to God. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yes, God. Yes, Jesus. I feel that. Amen. I am so grateful that God is opening your spirit up. And that's what he shared with us in Friday night service, that this anointing was going to make it easy. The yokes were going to be broken, and you're going to find it easy to get before God now. That thing that had been hurting and hindering you or being as a force to stop you is no longer there if you praised God under this anointing. I promise you it's not. Amen. Is there anyone else? Thank you, Sister Woods, for your sharing that as well. God bless you.
Bless you, Apostle.
Amen. Is there anyone else that's on the line that wants to share? Come forth now. I could feel the tug and you want to come forth. Come on, use this flow and come on forth. Somebody behind us flushing toilet stools and everything, but come forth and say something over this phone in Jesus' name. Amen. We only have a few more minutes, people of God. Amen. Is anybody desiring prayer at this time? For anything in particular. Well, praise God. Nobody's on here wanting any prayer. I guess it's all good this evening. Well, I want to say this. I want to say that I thank God for the new year that he has brought us into, this new fresh start, this new season that he has brought us into. And I'm asking God to keep us and our loved ones, keep us and overshadow us with his grace, his goodness, and his mercy. And I'm asking that you all would continue to remember me in your prayers and ask that God's will would be done in my life, not his permissive will, not any man, woman, or boy, girl's will, not even your will, but God's will. Ask that his will would be done, and I'm going to be praying for you as well. I'm asking God to have his way in your life. Is there one somebody else before we let this line loose that want to say something before we get off? Amen. Amen. Well, nonetheless, Sister Hannah, if hello? Is there anyone, Sister Hannah, is there something you want to say as far as the books and everything? And can you share with the people, because I didn't find it earlier, how to go on and to click the button to follow this service?
Well, I just praise and thank God. If anyone accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, over the phone lines, over the internet, you go to www.kingdomdaughters.org and put in the comment box to request your Bible. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Right now, at this present moment, Prophet, Apostle, I don't quite. I'm going in right now to see how. If they go into www. blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Builders International. In about 10 minutes, this program will be on demand. If you go there and click on follow, then next month it'll automatically text you or email you the program.
Yes.
And next month I will have further directions for you. The Apostle also will be posting the program on Facebook. Okay, so if you click on follow, you will be able to follow the program.
Amen. I'm going to also, if I can, real briefly, we've got about 10 minutes left, but I want to give out those of you who want to, that have Facebook, you can meet me on Facebook as well and keep up to upcoming events. You can keep up with upcoming events. You can meet me there. I'm trying to pull up my address. I don't use it that often, but let me go here real quick and get that for you. I'm on there all the time, but using it is a different, the info. Let me see. The address is facebook.com//DoubleImpactInc. Okay. And just click on my name, Keith, K-E-I-T-H, B-L-A-N-T-O-N, Blanton, and you can befriend me there. That first name is Keith, and the last name is Blanton. And you can befriend me there and follow me there. And as the woman of God said, there will be, I'm going to actually post this message on Facebook in about another 20 or 30 minutes. And those of you who are desirous to keep a copy of this in your inbox, you can do that as well, or email it to yourself, and you can listen to it when you're ready to listen to it again as a refresher, as a reminder, because there were some instructions in this message that teaches you how to keep your heart open and pliable and to stay in your place. I know that it was basic for some people, but yet this is a refresher. God always brings even his leaders back to a place of working on your foundation principles, because sometimes the enemy will sow things into your foundation that he wants to get out so that he can make you strong. We all are made over and over and over again. Nobody is permanently made in every place. There is some areas that he's going to remake. There's some times where God has to take some stuff off or chisel you out or make you like that diamond and cut you a little bit more to bring out the brilliancy in you. So this message can be as an archive in your library for you to be able to go back to and listen to refresh yourself every so often and get instructions from. Amen, amen. With that, don't forget about our service on the radio tomorrow night. You can find that at www.gospel1570.com. That's www.gospel1570.com radio. Tomorrow night at 12 midnight tomorrow, 12 p.m. I'm sorry, 12 a.m. midnight tomorrow night. And we will be on the radio for an hour. That's Gospel 1570 a.m. in Chicago, Illinois, duh. And you can also, if those of you that are in Chicago land, you can meet us at 7203 South Emerald Avenue at Cry Unto Me Rescue Church. They're on the corner of 72nd and Emerald, one block east of 72nd and Halstead. Amen. And with that said, I love you. God loves you. And I love each and every. I want to see you back here next month, same time, same station. We'll be here. Go ahead, Sister Evangelist Hannah. I'm sorry. Okay. Well, I guess that's it for now. Maybe if that's all. We're going to be signing out, and we're going to just pray God's blessings for you and hope that you'll be back here. Those of you who want to befriend me, you can leave your comments as well on Facebook and your prayer request in my inbox. May God bless you, and until next month, same time, we'll see you then. Good night.